Special Care Home Week is observed in August to highlight the work that takes place in special care home facilities in looking after seniors and other adults in need of care. More than 7,000 people currently live in special care homes in New Brunswick, which provide vital daily support, such as dressing, bathing, and providing meals and supervision for their residents. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Chief Executive Officer of the New Brunswick Special Care Homes Association, Jan Seeley, about the importance of special care homes in the province and her experiences of running special care homes over her 30-year career, as well as the events taking place over Special Care Home Week.
Special Care Home Week is the third week of August every year. It's about celebrating the people that deliver the care and build the relationships every day. And it's about the collaboration that happens between families and residents and our teams to ensure that, you know, mom or dad or your brother or sister can live their best life while they're there. There's over 400 special care homes in New Brunswick, and there are many different shapes and sizes. We take care of over 7,000 people. Most of them are seniors, but there's probably about a 25 to 30% portion that are people under the age of 65 with various mental health issues and maybe disabilities and so on. We have four different levels of care. We have about 284 homes that deliver level two care, and that is people that can still mobilize on their own, possibly have one or two chronic illnesses, need assistance with medication and their meals and bathing. And many level two care homes go from having people that can get on the bus and go to a work program throughout the day, or can go out in the yard and walk around independently. But maybe some of their residents have moderate dementia and they are requiring oxygen and assistance with diabetes and so on. So it's a wide variety. Then we have memory care, which is a specific level of care designed to take care of people with moderate to severe dementia. And these homes are unique in a sense that they're only up to 18 people. They have a very high staff to resident ratio. Then we have 3G, which they refer to as generalist care. And that's for the person who their mobility is now becoming much more of a challenge. They may have three or four different chronic illnesses. Their level of frailty has increased. So their support and the hours of care they require each day is increased. As well, they require on-site nursing care. For 3G and 3B homes, we probably have about 50 in the province caring for a little under 600 people. And then we have community residences. We have about 70 of those, and they care for people under the age of 65 that have different mental health conditions and disabilities, and they need more hands-on care than they would receive in a standard level two home, so they would advance to a community residence under the age of 65.
I want to look a little bit at the barriers that maybe exist for people accessing special care homes. Are there still issues that kind of do need to be overcome?
It's our outcomes that we really are lacking in. So we work hard with government and our other long-term care partners to try and make sure that people get the right care when they need it without unnecessary delays and barriers. We recently helped design the long-term care plan for the province and put forth many recommendations. It's an excellent plan. We will be keeping their feet to the fire to ensure that the outcomes happen. And that's what really matters. If you're in your own home and you need care and you don't receive it when you need it, then you could advance on to hospital, advance on to special care, and or you may require going directly to nursing home. So we really need to look at this in a holistic way. Our sector is an integral part of our entire healthcare system. We help to relieve the pressure of hospitals and nursing homes. We have a shrinking capacity, unfortunately. The demands of being an operator in this day and age are extreme, but we have a lot of support available to us and a lot of people that are very dedicated to this. We've also developed a tremendous website. It's kind of like TripAdvisor for long-term care, which is kind of cool. And they can go to our website, the New Brunswick Special Care Home Association. It's nbscha.ca. You click on residences, you click on the region you're in, and just start to browse through some of the homes. So instead of just getting a list, now you can go on, you can say, well, I'm 80 years old, I'd like to live with people that are my own age. I'd like to be close to churches and the doctor's office. I'm in a wheelchair, I need assistance with insulin, and I want to bring my cat. Well, our inventory project that we did, this TripAdvisor project, will actually only produce the homes that said yes to that, searching right from your own computer or your phone.
And you certainly touched on the place that special care homes have in the wider healthcare environment. I mean, do you want to go further into where it fits in, kind of where, without special care homes, where would the pressures be felt?
Oh, I just can't even imagine. Special care homes have evolved by design in the last 4 years specifically to include extramural nurses now. They're an integral part of our care plans for our residents. They're attached to every single resident in every single care home now. And it's the best thing I feel that's happened to our sector ever. Now, if people start to feel unwell and a staff is not quite sure what's going on, before we would consult with an operator, we would talk to our supervisor, and we maybe would most times call 911. Well, now we call the extramural nurse. The extramural nurse can do a virtual visit. He or she can come in and check the resident. They can talk with doctors directly, and they can intervene. And therefore, that person doesn't have to go to hospital. The other thing we added was the mobile x-ray. So now if someone has a fall and it's not an obvious serious emergency where we would automatically call 911, we can call the mobile x-ray and they come directly to the home and do the x-ray there. And there's a consult through the radiologist and doctor. So that has helped tremendously as well.
I want to ask a little bit about kind of the challenges that are faced in terms of actually providing care.
When we lose a staff person that has been with us for many, many years because they can get a better wage at a hospital or at a nursing home, it doesn't just interfere with our scheduling. It's a fracture in the continuity of care that we're trying to give our residents. Our staff, they don't just deliver care, they build relationships. Living in long-term care can be, at times, very lonely. So those relationships are built and very tightly knitted with the staff themselves. So we've got a campaign coming up shortly to try and encourage government to see that value of that continuity of care and to work with us to help to improve the compensation. There's no sick time, no bereavement time, no pension, none of those things. So it's hard to compete with some of these other organizations. We will be pushing really hard for that.
What is the value of special care homes and why is it important to residents and family?
Numerous times throughout my career, families give a call and they say, you know, we're in a bit of a crisis here and we need some help. And we sit and we talk about what's going on and we meet the person themselves and have them come and spend half a day to meet the other residents and so on. The interesting thing that happens is when they're home and there's a lot of challenges and that adds a lot of stress and strain. So when somebody finally does move in, they get used to the same people every day helping to care for them. I've seen people transform where they get up in the morning and put their lipstick on because they're excited to go down to the main dining area and talk to their friends. So I've seen these relationships build and we notice over time, I've noticed many, many occasions where the family relationship has rebuilt itself because we take care of mom for the unpleasantries and we also help to fill in the gaps for the loneliness and the security and all of that. And then family can come and pick her up and she's all dressed and she's ready to go and she's got things to talk about. You know, you see this vibrancy start to come back. New Brunswick stands out on its own with regards to the subsidy it provides its residents. And also, we have a very high staff-to-resident ratio in our special care homes compared to other provinces. We provide all kinds of options. Freedom exists in choice, and I think that's what makes us so person-centered. The other thing I'll add to that is we're getting better at helping people age in place. Really, for me, the ideal long-term care system will be about wrapping services around people where they are and working together to knock down barriers that are delaying things. The capacity in the province to care for people is shrinking, but the demand is growing. We do have people that are ready, willing, and able to provide more space. This level, it works. It's more economical for the province, and the sector is well positioned to continue to be an essential part of our healthcare system and relieve even more pressures from the future. Special Care Home Week events are occurring all over the province. I know the Minister of Seniors has been invited and confirmed for some of them. So operators are going to hold barbecues, they're going to hold concerts, car shows. So Special Care Home Week is about celebrating this essential sector. I mean, it really is. To measure the value of it, it'd be interesting to do that somehow financially. I know that those things are important, but I also know that the 7,000 people that live in these homes, they call they call these places home.
More information can be found at nbscha.ca. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Cove for local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.